Of Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter number 3 tonight. As we've been looking on Sunday nights at the book of Romans, I really was wanting to preach a series of doctrinal things, but I figured the main emphasis I wanted to place upon was that we're saved by grace through faith and not of works. And I can't think of any better book to preach through than the book of Romans for that. And these verses that we're going to see tonight are going to solidify those beliefs for us. And it's important, you know, maybe sometimes you say, why make this such a great emphasis? Well, if we're believing that we're going to get to heaven because of Jesus plus anything, we're mistaken. We've added to the gospel in that sense. We're trusting in something other than Christ and Him alone. And so it is a very serious matter. And so we need to understand what God expects of us and how we get there. So look with me in Romans chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading in verse 21. It says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law." Let's pray together tonight. Father, we bow before you in Jesus' name. And God, we approach this third chapter of the book of Romans. And God, we see in it that our righteousness is by faith in you. It's not of ourselves. It's not of any goodness that can be found in us. It's not in keeping any laws or doing good works. It's all by your grace. Without you, we're nothing. We can't do anything. All things would be impossible, but through you, all is possible. God, I pray you'd be with us tonight as we unpack these verses, that it would help us. It would give us assurance and confidence in our faith. And God, we'll just pray that you'd be with us throughout the week. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It says here in verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Let me say there in verse 21 that the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament, and the gospel of the Old Testament is the gospel of the New Testament. There is no difference. Amen. Some people think that we were saved a different way in the Old Testament, and then Jesus came and we were saved another way. We have always been saved by grace through faith. The Old Testament saints were saved by believing in God that a Messiah would come that would take away the sins of the world. We are saved looking back, knowing that Messiah was Jesus Christ, but nonetheless, it has always been by faith. The Bible says about Abraham that he believed God and God counted it for his righteousness. I think that's important as we look forward, and we'll even see it a little bit more in this passage. We tonight, none of us here, are righteous. We're counted as righteous. We're covered in the blood of Christ, and our unrighteousness is cleansed by Him, but we ourselves are not righteous. We have had righteousness imputed to us, given to us, by the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Old Testament saints, the same exact way. It said that now the righteous God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. They said these things. They spoke these things the same as the New Testament does. All of the Old Testament, temple sacrifices and all of that was about symbolism and the coming Messiah and in obedience to what God told them to do. And so the gospel has always been the same. It says this in verse 22. It says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Now, a couple things there in that verse that is important. The righteousness of God is by faith of Jesus Christ. That is how we get the righteousness of God. We do not get the righteousness of God by being righteous. Now, we're going to talk about why we should do good things and why we should avoid sin. Don't ever get it twisted tonight that because I'm a grace man and a man of faith, that ever means that we should just say, hey, sin so grace should abound. Paul covers that in this book as well. God forbid, the scripture says. But when we're talking about how we become righteous, how we enter into heaven, it is because of the faith of Jesus Christ. You know, I do think that an important question to ask yourself and others would be, if you stood before God and He said, why should I let you into heaven? That you should have an answer for that. And the answer needs to be because of Jesus Christ. That's the only answer that there is. It isn't because of anything else. It's not going to be because I preached thousands of sermons. It's not going to be because I pastored a church for however many years. It's not going to be because I gave any money to the church or anything else. The answer is only Jesus Christ and Him alone. And He said, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. The gospel is for everybody the same. He said, upon all and all that believe. For there is no difference. Kind of back to what we were talking about this morning about election as some might would say, selection of certain individuals. The gospel is the same for everybody. Can I tell you a not so secret around here? Jesus died for everybody. Even people that will end up going to hell, Jesus died for. Their sins are paid for, but they haven't redeemed that and been redeemed by accepting the payment that Jesus made for them. And so the gospel is for everybody, all that believe, all that don't. There is no difference. And then He says this in verse 23, a verse that I'm sure everybody has heard countless times in church, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This verse here, and it's not just this verse, it's from Genesis to Revelation. It's verse upon verse and chapter upon chapter and story upon story. We know tonight, I don't know how anybody could stand and say they are not a sinner. I don't know how it'd be possible, but the Bible lets us know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody sitting here, when you come in to church and you look to your left and right and in front of you and behind you, I want you to know you're looking at a sinner. You know, I remember one time whenever I was in Arizona, a guy took his daughter to some colleges and they were trying to go to a Christian college. So they went to four or five Christian colleges to tour some campuses and they came back. And I asked him, I said, well, what did you think? How were they? He said, oh, they were good and this and that. He said, but of course, you know, every one of them is ran by sinners, so they're none of them are perfect. And that's true. And we're all sinners. That's why none of our families are perfect. None of our lives are perfect. And the church isn't. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here's the reality. Are some people better than others by our standards? Sure. There are some, by our standards, I think you're better than them, or I might think I'm better than you, or whatever. But that's our standards. But God has a standard, and the standard is perfection. And under that standard, we all become guilty. Every one of us have fell short. I'm reminded again about the rich young ruler as he went to Jesus and and wanted to follow him. And he said, keep the law and keep the commandments. He said, I've done all those things from my youth. And he said, well, there's one thing you lack. Go sell all that your goods and give them to the poor and come follow me. Well, this man was greedy and we could talk about a lot of sins off of that. He probably had some idol worshiping going on, that he worshiped his things and all that stuff. Maybe the pride of it. He didn't want to become poor and lowly, or we can go on and on and on. But the reality is he said, one thing thou lackest. And any of us, if we stood before God, stripped away of all of our masks and coverings, which we're good to put on, Jesus would be able to say to each and every one of us, you lack. You lack. Here, there, wherever, where there is the light of the Word of God and the light of the mind of God, we all fall short in some way. I stand before you tonight and I'm under no delusion. I want you to know that I fall short in many ways. I think if I looked at the list of all sins, man, I would have to say I check nearly every one of them off in some shape, form, or fashion. You know, Jesus came and upped the ante of the law, and he made our thoughts and our intents and our motives sinful things, not just the actions of our deeds. And so I know tonight that I am exceedingly sinful. And I know, just like I think about Peter in the Bible, where Jesus could go from praising him to calling him the devil in the same breath. That's how I feel many times. Man, hey, I can do it. I've told you before, at our house, I used to get everybody together in the morning and pray. I leave before everybody now. And I used to get everybody together and pray. And man, we could say amen and people would be elbowing each other right after prayer. We're not super spiritual. We're sinners in need of a Savior. It says this in verse 24. It says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. A few things here. Being freely justified by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Grace means something we don't deserve. That's what grace is. Show a little grace. Not that we deserve it, not that we've earned it, but grace is just something you don't deserve, right? Well, God has given us grace, unmerited, undeserved favor. Through His grace, we are saved, not through our goodness and our deeds and our works. It says that He is the propitiation through faith in His blood. That word propitiation is a big word that just simply means He is our substitute. He died on the cross for you. He paid the sin debt for you. I had somebody one time in a hospital. This happens to me less than it used to. I don't know why. Maybe because of I don't run as in so many circles of different things. But I was in the hospital one time, and somebody found out I was a preacher. When I was in the National Guard, I used to go stay in Belle Chasse one weekend out of the month, and they'd put me with a roommate every time. I didn't know. Every time they found out I was a preacher, we'd have a big discussion, you know. I remember one time one of the guy's girlfriend's mother was a pastor. He said, well, my girlfriend's mother's a pastor. I said, well, I don't think women ought to be able to preach. He said, really? And I took out the Bible and I showed him some verses. He said, I'm going to show her these verses when I get back, see what she says about it. I said, well, I don't know whatever come of that, but I said, well, you do that. So I might have caused big problems there in that house. But this one guy said, he said, you're a preacher. I said, yeah. And he said, well, do you believe in the death penalty? I said, well, let's get to the hard-hitting questions right here in the lobby, you know. I don't know. And I said, yeah, I believe in the death penalty. He said, well, it's funny that you believe in the death penalty, but you also believe in the forgiveness of God. Isn't that something? He said, I'm glad Jesus forgave us. I said, yeah, except for this, Jesus paid that debt. Amen. This wasn't just get all free. We didn't get all free. Jesus became our sins and paid for the wrath of it. And so he is our substitute. He is the propitiation for our sins. We haven't been forgiven freely. God paid the debt the only way he could, by coming down to be on earth. And Jesus stretches up his hand and grabs onto heaven and reaches down to earth and grabs upon earth. And he is the mediator between God and man. He was 100% man and 100% God. That's the only way this thing works. Only way it could happen. And so he is the propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. That's what happened to us. When we gave our lives to Christ, when we realized we couldn't do it, and everybody's got to come to that realization. If you think you can do it, you'll just keep trying to do it. You'll just keep lying to yourself and thinking you are, and stay on the treadmill of works that goes on and on and on. I've told y'all before, I was sitting in the living room of a pastor who believes in works for salvation, that he's going to earn his own way there. And he's been pastoring a church for over 50 years. And he told me, sitting in his living room, that he was scared to death to die. Told me that. He said, "I'm scared to death to die." He said, "Because I'm always having to," he said, "shooting ducks." That's how he did. He said, "I'm shooting the ducks down all day long." He doesn't want to die with any unrepented sin, because he thinks if he does, he's going to go to hell. I said, "Well, hey, if I believe that, I'd be scared to death to die too, because who knows? It's up to, you know." But anyway, he's the covering of our sins. He's the faith in his blood, sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. He is the just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. What a verse. What a verse. Where's the boasting then? How can anybody stand before God and boast and say, "I deserve to be here. I did this and that and I..." What? No, no, no. All that's excluded. He said, by what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. You see, works for salvation is appealing to our flesh. I know they say it's the other side, but I say the flip side. It makes me think that I've done something. And I get it. Look, here's the tough thing. We were all raised to earn our way. We were all told, growing up, nothing will be given to you. You have to work and earn everything. And we don't like taking anything. We don't like getting any help. We don't like, anything like that. We won't ask for help, and we won't tell anybody that we need anything, all that stuff. I get it. I remember when we used to go into people's houses when I was a kid, and my parents would tell us, "You're not hungry and you're not thirsty," right? Because they knew somebody was going to say, "Would you like something to drink? Or would you like something to eat?" And we were supposed to say, "No." I don't know why that was. They're offering drink and snacks, but we were supposed to decline the offer of drinks and snacks. And so that's kind of how we're brought up. And so it carries over into the church. We think nothing is free, which is not. Jesus paid for it. But we don't want to take that gift. We want to earn our own way. That is something to be admired in the physical world, but it's something that'll send you to hell in the spiritual world, because God is a jealous God. And God is God, and he is alone, and he's not going to share the stage with me. He's not going to say, "Yep, Derek, you earned it, man. You did it." By the way, let's just think about this logically for a minute. If you could be good enough to go to heaven, if there would be a scale of good works and bad works, why did Jesus come? That's right. Yeah. I just don't understand. I don't see the need, because we would just continue to be good or bad, and we would be judged by our works. But It doesn't make any sense for Jesus to come, become the sins of the world, die, be buried, rose again the third day, and then let's just keep things the same. You just keep working for it. It doesn't make any sense. God had to make the way. He is the one. But in that, understand there is no bragging. You have no bragging rights. You have nothing to brag about. You are with Jesus. You are not on your own. You didn't make your own way. God made it for you. And I know some people don't like that, but that is the reality. Verse 28 is a home run passage to me. It says, therefore, we conclude. In other words, he's saying, we're going to wrap this thing up. Of course, he's not, because we're going to preach a lot more on it through the book of Romans. But he says, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, I don't know where the confusion will come after that verse. We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. It is, I was talking to another guy the other day, works versus grace deal again. And here's the thing, everything about this is spiritual. Our birth is spiritual. It is a spiritual covering of our sins. It is not physical. It's all a spiritual matter. Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Nicodemus said, physically, I need to go in my mother's womb and be born again? He said, no, spiritually, you need to be born again. Our salvation is spiritual. It is a spiritual birth. It is a spiritual salvation that is by faith in the work of Jesus Christ. It is without the deeds of the law. It's excluded. It is not saved by faith and kept through our goodness. It's not saved by faith and kept by our continual repentance and trying to do good deeds. That is not how we are saved. We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, let's look at verses 29 through 31 and we'll wrap this up on some things that we need to talk about before we go. It says, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. Now, let's talk about that for just a minute, about the law and good works and where they fit into this deal. The law has a purpose, okay? We're not here to, as he said, make the law void. The law has a purpose. Let me tell you what the law's purpose is. A couple things. Number one, as we talked about last week, the law is there to make everybody guilty. The law is there to kill everybody. The law kills. You know how it kills? Do you know why we know that it's wrong? Some of y'all might say, still not wrong. Do y'all know why we know it's wrong to drive 150 miles an hour on that road out there? Because the law told us it was wrong. Right. Now, if the law had never told us it was wrong, we wouldn't know. But the law established that is wrong. And so now we know it's wrong. Well, what God did by creating the law is he established this is right and that is wrong. But God made that. I don't know who made that law out there. But God made the laws in the Bible. And what the law has done is made things right and wrong. If God had not made them, but can I tell you another thing? If God had declared some things right that are wrong, they'd be right. I'm just saying. The only reason they're wrong is because God said they're wrong. And now, it's a law in our heart. We kind of know through the course of mankind, we know what it is. But God said these things are right and wrong. Jesus came on the scene, and he incorporated, because he said, y'all have missed the point. So in other words, God always had an intention that y'all have now missed, which is it's not even just the letter, it's the intent, right? It's not just whether you did it, but how did you feel about it? Did you want to do it, right? Would you have done it if you could have? All these things. And so the law's, one of the law's purposes is to make us all guilty. And if you're honest tonight, you know you're guilty.
That's right, man.
You know you're guilty. I could, I sent a picture. I got it on my phone. I see stuff online sometimes on these different social medias. I don't know what church it was in, but it had a thing. It said, will a man rob God? And it had the non-tither board, you know, it had all their names of them. I sent it to Godfrey. I said, I'm going to put this up at the church next week. He said, you know, I was just joking. But the point is, we all know, if we're honest, that we're guilty of sin. But the second point of the law is it does provide for us a structure to do good. God has told us what he loves and what he hates. He told us how we ought to act and how we ought not act. And by the way, let me say this. When I'm like what God said to Cain. He said, if you do good, you'll be fine. And if you don't, sin lies at the door. That still applies to us today. Can I tell you about sin? It brings about consequences. It's not good. We shouldn't revel in sin. We shouldn't glory in sin. We shouldn't want to do sin. You know why? Because sin brings about death, and it brings about destruction, and it brings about pain and suffering in your life. I don't know about you, but death, destruction, pain, and suffering is not what I want to sign up for. That's what sin does, and God told us all that through the law. So it is a good warning for us to say, hey, I need to stay away from these things because it will bring about suffering in my life. So that the law is also good. It's been established through that. But Jesus completed and fulfilled the law. None of us could. He did it. He kept all the law. He was tempted in all points like us, yet without sin. So we are, you know, he was tempted to sin and yet overcame by the power of God that me and you were not able to do. We were born sinners. And one thing I've learned, I've got 7 kids and we didn't have to teach any of them to lie, cheat, and steal. They just know how to, and they do, and they sin, and they sin when they're little kids, and, you know, they do all sorts of things. And so that's us, but we put our trust in him. Now, why do we do good works, too? We do good works because we love Jesus, because I'm thankful and grateful for what he's done. And, you know, I think about that saying, forgiven people are forgiving people. I'm going to forgive because I've been forgiven. The scripture says that. He who's been forgiven much should forgive much. And also, he who's done so much for us, we ought to want to do for him. But we do it not out of obligation. We do it out of love. Amen. When you do something out of obligation, you usually don't have a good spirit about it. I don't like being told what to do. I don't like, I'm like everybody else. I don't like rules. I don't like regulations. It's kind of just like the law, man, things get out of hand. And man, we created one rule. Now we got 10 to back up the one and all that. I want to do things because I want to do them. Well, that's how it ought to be in our own spiritual life. You should want to do things for the Lord because you want to do them. And if you don't, you're doing it for the wrong reason. God says he loves a cheerful giver. And he wants people that love him because they love him. He could have made a bunch of people to be robots. He could have done that. He didn't do that. He said, I want people to want me for me and what I've done for them. That's what we have. That's what we have. And so good works, yes. The law is good. It serves a purpose. But none of it is there to get us to heaven. We're supposed to do it out of an overflow of love of what God has done for us. I hope you got blessed by being here tonight and being under the Word of God. And man, I'm thankful for grace. I'm thankful for forgiveness. I'm thankful.